Just outlook on my talk. This talk will be somehow a continuation of what I talked about last week at the school. In particular, it will consist of three parts. The first part regards to land effects in 40 equals 2 series. So the first story will be this quantum UVR map, which I'll define momentarily, and how to use it to construct some new linking variants. And the second story is about this quantity, the so-called land effect Schur indices. And also I will try to say a few words about the relation to 4D holomorphic topological twists and 2D VOAs. I decided that so this part I haven't been thinking about recently. I did think about this maybe a few years ago, and I felt a little bad that my talk last week is somehow disconnected from other talks. So I hope that this part could make up for it. Then the third story is again a continuation about this exact WKD method for ordinary differential equations, which I will mention a little bit about the extension of the Schrodinger equation case to a higher order case. And during my talk, I will not monitor the chat. So if you want to say anything, questions, comments, or criticism, or anything you want to say, please just unmute yourself, and then we can talk. Okay, so from the physics point of view, there are a lot of, and also mathematical point of view, sorry. There are lots of good reasons to think about these extended defects. And last week, we talked about a little bit about land defects in 4D equals 2 series, which I will just review a little bit. So we're considering a 4D equals 2 theory, and with insertion of a supersymmetric land effect extending along time direction and sitting at the origin of the spatial R3. So one can think of some famous example of such things are, for example, in 4D equals 2 gauge theories, one could have supersymmetric Wilson-Duft lines. However, there are also generalizations, where there's more geometrical origin stuff. Now, in a generic 4D equals 2 series, such land effects could be a little bit more difficult to explicitly write it down. However, this is not the case in abelian gauge theories, where these land effects are going to be labeled by electromagnetic charge gamma and a C star parameter zeta, which labels what supercharges are preserved by the land effect. So as an example, if we look at 4D equals to U1 theory, the theory of a single vector multiplet, where we choose an electromagnetic duality frame such that the charge gamma is purely electric. And in this case, one can write down the land effect explicitly as such sort of like a supersymmetrized version of the ordinary Wilson line, where in the integrand A and phi are the field content, because concretely the vector, the A and phi are the field content inside this 4D equals to a vector multiplet, which I drew this little diagram last week. Okay, so since it's generically difficult to describe these lines in a generic 4D equals 2 series, however, they're easier to describe in abelian gauge theories, one can ask whether we could exploit this fact to study land effects. And that comes to the concept of the UVR map. So as we already said last week, 4D equals 2 series have a subspace of vacua called the Coulomb branch, where essentially parametrized by the valve inside of the, for the scalar inside the vector multiply, where at the generic point of the Coulomb branch, the low energy effective field theory is a abelian gauge theory, so a bunch of U1s. So what we could do is to start with the supersymmetric land effects in the UV and deform onto the Coulomb branch and follow the land effect into the infrared. What generically one would find is a superpositional land effects in the effective abelian theory. And we can package this into the so-called UVR map, where here L here corresponds to the UV land effects, and this arrow denotes deform onto the Coulomb branch, where on the right-hand side, you will find a superposition of infrared Wilson-Duft lines or dionic lines labeled by the charge gamma with some integer coefficients. And physicalizes integer coefficients could be understood as some sort of index counting the ground states of the bulk defect system. And more concretely, if we look at the defect Hilbert space, namely the Hilbert space of the theory on R3, where defect, the line defect modify R3 at a point, and moreover, you fix the boundary values of your field at infinity to correspond to a point on the Coulomb branch. And then this defect Hilbert space admits a decomposition in terms of the infrared electromagnetic charges. And within each sector of this decomposition, one could use an index to count the lowest energy states, which are the so-called frame BPS states associated with the line defect. And moreover, one can also do a better counting or a refined counting. Namely, I didn't talk in detail what are the symmetries preserved by the line. So of course it's inserted at a point in R3, so it preserves SO3 rotation symmetry. And moreover, it also preserves the so-called SU2R symmetry. So one could use these preserved symmetries to further refine counting of these BPS states. And after you do that, this will give you some index which generically takes some values in Laon polynomial in Q. And if you take the classical limit, which in my convention corresponds to Q goes to -1, you would recover these integers appearing in this UVIR decomposition. So the part one of this talk will be just to tell you a little bit more about geometric way to compute such spin refinement for line defects in 14 equals 2 series of class S. So let me specialize now to 14 equals 2 series of class S. So as I also mentioned last week, to obtain class S theory, what you do is you take 62,0 theory, and in today's talk, I'll fix it to be either GLN or SLN. Sorry, I didn't write SLN here. A Riemann surface C with a partial topological twist along C to preserve supersymmetry. And then to make a line defect in such 4D theories, what you will do is you take a surface defect in 6D, a two-dimensional surface defect in 6D, and wrapping it along some loop L on the Riemann surface C, and also extend it along time direction. Then after the twisted compactification on C, this would produce for you a line defect in class S series. So geometrically speaking, the line defects in class S will correspond to these loops L on Riemann surface C. And as I mentioned last week, there could be more general configurations consisting of junctions and or laminations. However, today we're just going to think about line defects. The geometric representation of line defects correspond to simply loops on Riemann surface C. And I would like to also make a further remark, namely the line defects also depends on data of a GLN or SLN representation, which descend from the dependence of the surface defect in 6D. And today we're only going to be considering fundamental representation. Now for class S series, this UVR map for line defects that we just introduced also has a geometric origin, namely a point in the Coulomb branch corresponds to an n-fold branch covering C tilde over C embedded into a cotangent bundle of C, which where C tilde is a separate written curve. So just as we said that in the UV, line defects correspond to loops on the Riemann surface C, the infrared line defects geometrically will correspond to loops L tilde on the covering C tilde. So which I draw a schematic picture here, where in particular here, C tilde is three branch covering of C with simple branch point. So geometrically speaking, this UVR map could be understood as a procedure which takes a loop L downstairs in C and uplift it to combinations of loops L tilde in the several written curve C tilde. And this kind of geometric picture was developed under the name of spectral networks by the work of Gail Tomorinetsky. And our first story today is about sort of like a quantized picture of this geometric construction. Okay, so to talk about this kind of quantization, there's we would need to use lay some additional structure on the space of land effects, which I also briefly mentioned last week. So namely, the space of land effects is equipped with a natural algebra structure given by the land effects operator product. So what happens is, so your land effects is inserted at a point in R3. So considering you have two land effects at two insertion points, correspond to L1 and L2, and you could bring these two points together thanks to supersymmetry. At the limit where these two land effects are brought together, you get a new land effect, which I denote as L1 times L2. And this is a land effects operator product of the two land effects L1 and L2. And so this is like a physical origin of this algebra structure. And geometrically, there's also a representative. So if we go back to this picture, here I have a loop L for some land effects L1. And suppose I consider, I didn't draw it, but if you follow my cursor, I consider another loop corresponding to a different land effects L2, then the product structure is given by the concatenation of these two loops. That's a geometric picture of this algebra. So geometrically, if you want to quantize this kind of algebra structure, what you would do, like naively speaking, or because I don't really know much math, this is how I think about it, is to introducing an ordering of these loops. So instead of considering loops on L on the Riemann surface C, you would be left to consider links on C cross a real line. On C cross an actual real line, where this actual real line introduces ordering of these loops. And turns out this quantization gives you the so-called skin algebras, which I will show the version of skin algebras I will be using in the next slide. This has been explored in many different aspects by many different people. And physically, one could also understand this sort of quantization in the following sense. Namely, one could consider turning on omega background on a spatial R2 plane. So originally, before we do that, the land effect is free to be inserted at any point in R3. After you turn omega background on the spatial sub R2 plane, the supersymmetric land effects are restricted to be inserted at the origin of this R2 plane. In other words, the only possible insertion places for the lines is this fixed spatial axis RH. So once you do that, suppose you have L1 and L2 inserted along this spatial real line. Now you could still consider in the OPE, it will still be non-singular, you will still get a product. However, the limit where L1 approach L2 from the left will be different from the limit where L1 approach L2 from the right. So as a result, you will get a non-commutative OPE, which I labeled by the star product here. So in a generic UV, while defined 14 equals 2 series, this is some, 14 equals class S series, this kind of a non-commutative OPE is described by skin algebras. But in the infrared, this non-commutative OPE are easier to understand, which bears the name of the so-called quantum torus algebra, which I wrote here. So on the left-hand side of this quantum torus algebra, you have two dynamic land effects with charge gamma 1, gamma 2. We'll bring them together, of course, because charge conservation, you would expect to get a line with charge gamma 1 plus gamma 2. However, there's also an extra piece in front of this x gamma 1 plus gamma 2. Physically, this actual piece takes care of the angular momentum stored in the electromagnetic field sourced by the two dions with charge gamma 1, gamma 2 on the left-hand side, which wouldn't be there if you don't add this actual contribution of this angular momentum. And moreover, I should say this bracket gamma 1, gamma 2 corresponds to the Dirac-Schwinger-Twontig pairing in the infrared charge lattice. And geometrically, they correspond to intersection pairing of this, because I didn't say this time, but last time I said the charges correspond to homology classes in the in a separate written curve. So this pairing corresponds to intersection pairing. And it's anti-symmetric, so which, as you could say, that if you switch the place, the order of x gamma 1 and x gamma 2, you do get something non-commutative. So with all this being said, what we have achieved, talked about so far is like the space or land effects are both in the UV and in the infrared is equipped with some algebra structure, which further admits some quantization. So if we want a quantized version of this UV R map or quantum trace map in the HM module space language, which I didn't use this time, but I talked a little bit last time, we would want a map from the UV scale algebra to the infrared quantum torus algebra. Moreover, this map should be compatible with taking OPE on the UV and on the infrared. So what we would want is a homomorphism from the UV scale algebra to the infrared quantum torus algebra. And just the fact that it has to be a home and the fact that you need to have this kind of isotope invariance because of the twisting you performed, it turns out to be enough for you to bootstrap all the algorithms that you need to construct this quantum UVR map. So before I talk about this quantum UVR map, let me say a few more words about what is the UV scale algebra and what are the infrared version that we're considering here. So the UV scale algebra that I will be considering here is a certain GLN, or I should say a one parameter limit of the GLN Homfli scale algebra associated with a three manifold taking a product structure of the Riemann surface across the real line, where this UV scale algebra is going to be generated by oriented framed links inside the three manifold up to isotopy and modulo the following skin relations. So just so that if you haven't seen skin relations before, one way you could understand it is it's a relation between different modifications of local modifications of your link strands. So here in the figure, this dotted or the shaded region is a projection of a three ball onto my computer screen. And I should say that to write down the relation, I'm using the computer screen framing where the framing vector pointing out of your computer screen. So what, for example, what this first relation says is that suppose you keep everything outside the three ball fixed, and you only modify what's happening inside the three ball. And the first relation says that the difference between overcrossing in my convention, maybe it's called under in some other convention, the difference between the overcrossing and the undercrossing is equal to Q minus Q inverse times the configuration where the crossing is resolved. And the second skin relation is basically a change of framing relation. And the third skin relation tells you you could delete this unknot inside the three ball at the cost of the following factor here. And in the infrared, you would also have some similar skin algebra, which is generated by oriented framed links L tilde in this covering three manifold M tilde, where this covering is induced by the covering of the Seberg-Witten curve over C. So it's taking the product form of Seberg-Witten curve across the real line. And moreover, there should be a one-dimensional branching locus in general in the M tilde. So an infrared skin relation looks simpler than the UV version. For example, you could directly resolve a crossing at the cost of Q or Q inverse. You could directly delete an unknot at the cost of factor one. However, there's an actual piece here which deals with there will be a lot of minus signs flying around, and then it took a while to actually fix this minus signs. But an important ingredient is the third skin relation, where this orange point corresponds to the projection of my one-dimensional branching locus to the computer screen. So what this tells you is if I pull a link strand across this branch locus, I will obtain a minus sign. So I've talked about the skin algebra. However, I haven't told you what is the algebra structure here. And the algebra structure here is simply correspond to stacking your links along this this real axis here. Are there any questions at this point? Okay. So the quantum UVR map, it's going to be some map from the left-hand side to the right-hand side. Concretely, it sends a link L inside the three manifold M to combinations of links L tilde inside the bring three manifold M tilde with some coefficients which are valued in the long polynomial in Q. And I won't tell you actually the actual construction. Excuse me. You could find the details in these two papers of me with my collaborator, but I will tell you what this quantum UV IR map actually compute for you. So I draw a schematic picture of the three manifold M. So you have a Riemann surface and then times a real line, where I didn't draw it perhaps in the best possible way, but what you're imagining is at each point along the real line, you have this Riemann surface. So that's your three manifold. And now what about the links out inside the three manifold? So generically, you could do anything you want. For example, the generic situation for the links will be this L3 here. So it really have some, it wraps some non-trivial cycles and have some crossings, etc. However, I would like to mention two special limits. The first special limit is a case where the link could be isotope to a simple closed curve on the Riemann surface. For example, this L1 here. And physically, this geometric quantity will correspond to a half BPS land effects in 4D equals to class S theory. And in this quantum UVIR map, FLL1 will give you the so-called generating function for these frame BPS indices that we introduced at the beginning of the talk. The second special limit is L2 here, where it's some small link. In by small, I meant that it's completely contained in a three ball. Namely, this link doesn't see the actual structure of the Riemann surface. It doesn't see the holes here. For the link in the neighborhood, it looks just like R3 or like inside the ball. If you apply the same quantum UVIR map algorithm to such a link, what you will get is this one parameter limit of the Homfli polynomial, which in the n equals two case, this is just the Jones polynomial. In higher n case, this is like a higher rank generalization of Jones polynomial. And moreover, the algorithm could be understood in some way as sort of like a generalization of this n equals two vortex model, excuse me, to compute the Homfli polynomial, this one parameter limit of Homfli polynomial. Now, I told you these two special limits. You could ask, what about generically? Generically, for example, for the L3 here, what are we computing? What's the corresponding physical quantity? So I didn't say in detail what's the corresponding physical quantity for the L3, but one could understand the corresponding quantity as an effective land effects, a quarter BPS effective land effects in class S theory. And in that case, the quantum UVR map also computes a generating function for counting the lowest energy states associated with this Bach defect system. And I should say that this kind of algorithm is very concrete. And in these two papers, we work on many examples. And in particular, in this submission, I also included within the source file uploaded to archive a Python package, which is designed to compute, to compute the second limit, namely this Homfli polynomial case for many different scenarios. And also together with a mathematical notebook for the more generic case, and in particular, the special case of the first limit. And to develop this algorithm actually required solving a lot of little puzzles, and they took us quite a long time. So if you think this could be useful for whatever you want to do, or if you're interested, you could go to download the source file for these packages. I should say the mathematical notebook is relatively well documented, but not the case for the Python package because it has a little more complicated architecture. But if you're interested, you can email me on my collaborator and we can add some more documentation for these packages. And I should also say that in the this kind of quantum UVR map also have been considered by some mathematicians. And in particular for the n equals two case, it was considered by Bonahan Wang, which actually used a different, completely different kind of construction. However, we're supposed to be computing the same thing. And in higher end generalization, there is also some more recent work by these people that I wrote here. All right, so in the following, I will just give you two simple examples for the special limit, the first special limit, namely corresponding to the half BPS land effects in class SU.
I'm sorry, may I ask a quick question?
Yes.
So I understood from your initial explanation that your defect is a curve in 2D and the line in the remaining 4D.
Mm-hmm.
But how can you put a knot in your surface? You would need a fixed surface for that.
I'm putting a knot in the surface across another real line. This is a three manifold in general.
But then for particular values of RH, instead of a line, you will have points.
So exactly. Right. So if I understand correctly, you were asking what is this object in the 4D space-time, for example?
Yes.
Yeah. So it will be a strip. So like, for example, like this RH direction is actually one of the spatial dimensions in 4D, exactly as you said. Now, you could say it's not really a line because, for example, the L3 here will extend along some finite region in the spatial axis. That's why I use the words effective line. Namely, if you go to a length scale or go to low energy or go to a length scale where this little region is negligible, effectively you get an object like a line. However, this object only preserves a quarter supersymmetry and also explicitly broke the SO3 rotation down to U1, which is a transverse plane to this little strip. It also explicitly breaks the SU2R symmetry to a U1R subgroup. So it's not, strictly speaking, it's a strip, but if you go to the length scale where this the width of the strip is negligible, originally our paper we called a fat line, but perhaps a better word is the effective quarter BPS lines in the 4D sense. I don't know if that answered your question part.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I had a question too. Can you in principle get quantum SLN invariance in any representation? SLN here. So you're fixing.
Mm-hmm.
You're fixing big N for the Homfli and the generalizations. Those are symmetric power.
Yes.
I'm just trying to confirm that at least in principle, you are able to throw any representation in there.
Yes.
With the data of the UV line defects.
Right. So in principle is the keyword here. I haven't worked it out, but in principle, yes.
Cool.
I thought a little bit about what need to be added to this more general case, but I didn't really work out the detail. But in principle, yes. But since I didn't work it out, so that probably should be sure. Okay, thanks. Are there other questions? Okay, so let's just quickly go through these two examples. So I gave you an example last week in the theory, which is SU2 with four fundamental hypers. And I'm just sort of showing the same example where the corresponding Riemann surface is a four puncture sphere with these blue dots labeling the punctures, and ignore everything that I draw here, just those four blue dots. And I showed you a different land effects last week, which is sort of like not so interesting. But now we will look at the land effects in this theory, which correspond to this blue loop here, looping around two out of these four punctures. And now I go to a point in the Coulomb branch and also turn on some mass deformation, but it corresponds to some point in the strong coupling region. And this UV land effect will admit the following decomposition into this many infrared land effects. And most of the coefficients here is one, which means that the frame BPS state or the lowest energy state of this back defect system within the corresponding charge sector have a unique ground state. And they have, of course, it has trivial spin. However, you do see some non-trivial a long polynomial in Q, for example, here you have a two-dimensional representation, and here also, and here you have a direct sum of a one-dimensional and three-dimensional representation. You might be alarmed by this minus sign here because it's positivity stuff, but this is purely because the way I defined this index at the beginning of the talk, so the positivity conjecture, et cetera, actually is confirmed in all the examples. So now let me also show you another example, which is sort of like a cousin of the example that I just showed you. Namely, I still look at the four puncture sphere. However, the 6D theory I will be considering instead of SL2, I will be considering SL3. And corresponding the punctures are all being the so-called full punctures, but I won't explain, sorry, what that is. And I would still look at the land effects in this. I should tell you what is this 4D equals 2 theory. This 4D equals 2 theory is a SU3 gauge theory with the matter content being two copies of rank 1 E6 Minahan-Nemeshansky theory. So if I look at this theory and consider again a land effects corresponding to this big loop here, and now instead of something that fits into a single page, you'll get, and again, I go to some strong coupling region. Instead of something fitting to a single page, you will get 915 infrared lines appearing in the UVR decomposition with various coefficients, again, telling you the spin content of the lowest energy states within each infrared charge sector. And this kind of calculation, of course, you can't do it by hand. I mean, in principle, you can, but it's not a good thing to do. And however, our packages are supposed to be able to give you answers like this. So this will be the end of my first story. I should pause for a little question and then before I talk about the next thing. Okay, so the second story, which will be very short, is still about land effects. In particular, it's this quantity called the land effect Schur index in 4D equals 2 series. And now this quantity was originally defined for 4D equals 2 super conformal theories. However, that is not quite necessary to actually study such a Schur index. So here I would define it's probably a strong word, but I would just regard this land effect Schur index as also the following twisted S3 cross S1 partition function with land effects labeled by Li here, inserted, wrapping S1. So in this figure, it will be this red color here, but inserted at some point on S3. Now you could have multiple land effect insertion to preserve common supercharges. They have to be inserted along a common grid circle of the S3 here, which I indicated in this black lines. And moreover, the central charges of these land effects are going to be correlated with the angle of this inserting point with respect to some reference place. Now, this is some quantity that's been studied by, for example, these people. And one can also understand this index from an operator counting point of view. Namely, if you decompactify this S1 and do a conformal map, what you would get are land effects, which are coplanar. So they're all sitting at the common two plane and they are going to meet at a common point. And this index exactly counts the operators living at the junction between the different land effects. And this counting is again weighted by some quantum numbers. So which I wrote here, where here this capitalized R here is a Cartan for the SU2R symmetry, which is preserved by this junction of lines. And then J perp here generates the rotation perpendicular to the plane where the land effects sit. So in the story of the next slides, I will make connections to the 4D equals to holomorphic topological twist. But this plane where the land effects are inserted correspond to the topological plane, where this perpendicular plane, which gets rotated by J perp, correspond to the holomorphic plane. So let's see a little more about this in detail. This setup is compatible with this holomorphic topological twist with respect to the following supercharge. So combination of a Q and Q tilde. And this kind of setup has been studied both in the physics literature and in the math literature. And by many of you here in the audience, So I hope I don't say something wrong, but please correct me if I do. So first of all, if you look at the space of local operators in QK homology, they correspond to the vacuum module of a Poisson vertex algebra, which I denoted as V here. And if you take the graded character of this Poisson vertex algebra, in this QK homology, the cohomological grading is provided by this SU2R. And then there is also an actual twisted spin grading exactly given by the transverse rotation mixed with the SU2R. So if you use this grading to compute the graded character, what you would expect to get is the so-called Schur index of the Fordin-Cousu series without any land effects insertion. This is a story about local operators. Now, again, we talked about this land effects index, Schur index. What they gave you is the following. So if you consider a space of operators sitting at the junction of the lines, they will give rise to other modules of this Poisson vertex algebra. If you take the graded character of these modules, they're supposed to be coinciding with the so-called land effect Schur index. And in fact, in this very recent paper of Wenjing Niu, there's some example that's worked out. I forgot concretely what theory. I think SU2 with four flavors, where it's a junction between Wilson and Duff lines. Sorry if I'm wrong, but one can try to work out examples in this sense. So this is a generic story for any Fordin-Cousu series. You do not need conformal symmetry. However, if the Fordin-Cousu theory also happened to be conformal, then this Poisson vertex algebra can be further quantized in a physical sense by turning on an omega background. And what you will get is a vertex operator algebra first appeared in this work of Beam, Lemos, Leandro, Pilius, Rastelli, and Farris. And also this kind of quantization procedure was made more clear in the by the following people, Oyagi, Jun, and Batson. So both from the physics point of view and the mathematical point of view. And we said earlier that the land effects index or space operators living at a junction of the lines, they give rise to some modules of the Poisson vertex algebra. After you're doing this quantization, you would expect this module could be decomposed into modules of this 2D VOA. So correspondingly, the land effect Schur index can be expanded in terms of VOA characters. And moreover, if we talked about this operator product structure on the space of lines, so the land effects OPE has a correspondence in the VOA world, which where it corresponds to, in some limit, it corresponds to the Verlinde algebra. And this was first worked out by Cordero Galto Shaw using this really amazing infrared formula to compute land effect Schur index. And later in this paper, we also checked this kind of claim in more examples and also consider the case where you turn on actual flavor fugacity, which I guess I wrote it here. So this I didn't say, but this x to the f accounts for actual flavor symmetry of your theory. And where in those cases, you could map this land effects OPE to some deformed Verlinde algebra, depending on the flavor fugacity. So as an example, if you take the so-called Fordin equals to A1, A2, RGS Doppler theory, the corresponding 2D VOA is this Li-Yang 2.5 minimal model. And if you consider land effects, in particular, the setup will be a half land effect. So, or equivalently conjunctions between a line and the identity. If you consider the land effect Schur index, and then what you find is it's going to be able to be expanded in terms of two modules of this 2.5 minimal model, where I'm using the convention for the Katz label. Chi11 corresponds to the character of the vacuum module, where Chi12 corresponds to the module which corresponds to the primary field Phi12. And I should say that in this paper by Cordero Galto Shaw, there is a sort of like a partial explanation for this kind of behavior. Namely, I will talk about surface defect, but not in this sense. However, in this original 2D, Fordin equals 2D VOA story, land defects is not compatible in the setup because land effects does not really preserve the superchargers used to for these people to do to obtain this 2D VOA. However, surface defect does. You would expect that surface defect will provide to you natural modules of this 2D VOA. And in particular, this Kaiwan 2 here is provided by inserting an actual so-called canonical surface defect in this A1, A2 RGS Douglas theory. So in a sense, Colorado Shaw showed this pictorial way to somehow cut the surface up and then wrap it to be a combination of lines and which could be converted to some relations like this. However, I think there are still some subtleties for concretely to work it out in many other examples. And also for perhaps for people here, maybe there is some mathematical way which tells you each how does each modules in the Poisson vertex algebra decomposes under the VOA modules, and maybe which will directly gives you this kind of decomposition from that point of view. And I would be interested to know if that's the case. And also, let me also mention that since we're talking about this kind of stuff, there's also some relation between the land effect Schur index and modules of 2D VOAs with some sort of a certain U1 fixed locus in the corresponding Hitchin module space, which was explored in, for example, these papers. Okay, so this concludes my second story or the stories about land effects. I should pause to ask, are there any questions at this point?
Is it possible to say any more about this relation to these fixed loci in the Hitchin moduli space? Why you expect that sort of connection? There were modular tensor categories appearing there.
Yes, exactly. So I could say a little more, but so I don't have slides, so but maybe let me just say this in words. From my point of view in this paper, which I hope I remember because it was a few years ago, but the point is like there are three objects which are sort of related by a commutative diagram. So on the one hand, you have the spatial land effects. On the other hand, you have these modules of 2D VOA. And then the third object is this, in the RGS Douglas theory, for example, it's this wild Hitchin moduli space where you have a discrete set of a U1 fixed locus, where this U1 is sort of like a combination of U1R, but mixed with some rotation of these Stokes directions of corresponding to the irregular singularities. And then this commutative diagram sort of factorized in the following way. So on the spatial land effects, you have this OPE structure. How does this map to the Relinde algebra is a little tricky. Namely, what you do is you take this expansion. However, you take this coefficient, which in general depends on Q, but set Q goes to one. And then that will map to you some, like the vacuum module minus the 512 module. And then in this sense, if you compute the index with, for example, a product of lines inserted, and then do the same procedure, that's the same result if you directly take the corresponding modules in the 2D VOA and then just use Fuhrian rules or whatever this 2D VOA has. So this is, in this sense, that's what this correspondence map to. And then the third object, what you do is you have the land effects in defining the UV, which it has, as I said last week, they correspond to functions on the Hitchin module space. So the third relation is given by something perhaps stupid, but stupid I only meant in this, I'm not talking about the other two. Those are obviously very interesting. But in here, we just did something stupid, namely we evaluate this function exactly at this U1 fixed locus. So you get some values and then this kind of values also is compatible with this algebra structure on the land effect space and also modules of VOA side. We had some thinking, well, a few years ago, we were wondering why that is true. And I think we didn't really have a clear answer. So there's also this more recent paper, which I believe you were also mentioning earlier, perhaps give some more insight, but I don't have more wise or
thanks.
Thanks.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So this decomposition of the line defect index into the characters. Do we know any example for Lagrangian theories?
Yeah. So SU2 is for flavors. It's actually worked out here. There's a corresponding 2D VOA is SO8 at level minus 2. But I should say that the calculation there is quite involving.
Thank you.
It's involved. So yeah. What other Lagrangian examples? I think that's the only Lagrangian example that I know. So, yeah. All right. Okay, so, just intermediate summary. I told you two stories. The first story is about the quantum UVR map for land defects in class S series, which counts the ground states with spin for the back defect system. So unified with a, I should say, I put the new here, it's because the algorithm is completely new and it's actually using some foliation structure, which I didn't have time to say, but the end result is it just gives you a computation of this one parameter limit, a Homfli polynomial. And the second story I talked about is land effect Schur index and also relation to the 4D holomorphic biological trees and 2D VOAs. So in the last 13 minutes, I'll just say a few more words about this exact WKV business. I'm sorry for repeating a few slides here, but I won't actually dwell on this, just in case like someone don't know what context I'm talking about. So one can also consider surface defect in this 14 equals 2 series, which from the 6D point of view, they're inserted at a point on the Riemann surface, and they extend along the two plane inside their 4D space-time. This kind of surface defect is preserve a 2D 2,2 supersymmetry inside the 4D equals 2. And such surface defect also gives you some physical context for the so-called quantum cyber-written curve, which is what I meant is the following. So if you consider the cyber-written curve of some rank one 4D equals 2 series, so like this, and think of X as a momentum coordinate and Z as your position coordinate. And you promote this momentum and position coordinate to Heisenberg operators and then write it in terms of in the position representation. What you get is this following Schrodinger equation with this potential P here. Now, of course, this kind of quantization will have, you will have some ordering ambiguities for different terms in the potential PZ. And in particular here, you could have different PZ H bar with different H bar dependence, which all goes away, namely, which all reduce to the same classical cyber-written curve. Is there a physical way to fix a canonical quantization? And the answer is yes. So one can understand this in various ways, which I will just briefly mention. So first way to understand is the order doesn't mean my preference, it's just an ordering. So one way to understand is by turning on this Nikolov-Shvili limit on omega background along the surface defect. And it could also be thought about by carefully examining the conformal limit of the corresponding H modulus space, or one could also derive it from the so-called AGD correspondence. And this has some implications for the exact WKV method for Schrodinger equations. I told a story last week, and it'll be very brief. And also I hope this problem session for students will be helpful to gain a little bit thoughts into this. So namely, you have this Schrodinger equation, and then one could do is make the WKB on that, and then try to build a formal solutions as an asymptotic series in H bar to this Schrodinger equation. And in the end, what you find is you could build two formal solutions as series expansions in H bar. Of course, these are like having convergence radius zero. You could say, what are they even good for? So one need to resum this asymptotic series. And it turns out one cannot do so globally for everywhere in the Z plane. So the generic picture is the following. So you will have this branch point of the cyber-written curve or WKB curve. From each branch point, there will be three black lines emanating. So globally, they will be attracted back to some singularities, for example, here at infinity, or they will asymptotic to wrap around some randoming. And in the complement of these black lines, which is also called the Stokes curves or Stokes lines, you will have these regions, which are labeled BCDE here, where within each region, you could safely do the Brouwer summation and produce two actual solutions to the Schrodinger equation. However, exactly at the black lines, the Stokes lines, the Brouwer transform has some poles, which means you cannot exactly do Brouwer summation when z is exactly happening to be those lines. However, you could do this lateral Brouwer transformation, perturbing your integral contour a little bit, but then that means the actual solution you get on both sides will jump when you cross this Stokes curve. And they jump in this in the following sense. So for example, if I look at the two solutions, actual solutions set plus and minus at region D, and then two solutions at region E, they will jump by this, in particular, when you cross this Stokes curve, they will jump by this upper triangular matrix. So the generic picture is that you will have these one-dimensional Stokes lines and carving your z-plane into different regions. Within each region, you get two solutions. And you also know how they jump as you cross the Stokes lines. So that gives you some sort of a global control for this business. And I should say that I put dot 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 here because there's many more people who have worked on this. I apologize I didn't include them. And especially this kind of thing has been studied by many mathematicians. And I had a mean to add Kaoki and Shefki, but I think I messed up my library for making slides. So it didn't show up here, but I meant to add in particular their work too. And also there are many physics people who have considered this sort of thing. So from the physics point of view, the Stokes curves are in a sense determined by the soliton spectrum for the surface defects that we are considering. And also I introduced last week the notion of the Walras symbol, and they are C star valued actual functions in each bar correspond to some one cycles of the WKB curve or Severiton curve. And they have these kind of nice properties. So they capture the Brouwer sum WKB periods. Also, they could explicitly be expressed as Wronskians of distinguished local solutions. And they can also encode exact quantization conditions for various spectral problems. Okay, so that's all for Schrodinger equations. One can ask that, is there a way to generalize this story to higher order Schrodinger-like equations? So for example, this equation here with multiple potentials. And in this sense, so this kind of mathematical analysis about Brouwer summability has not been worked out. So the exact WKB for higher rank case is not exactly solid footing. However, one could still paint out a conjectural picture about the Stokes curves or Stokes graph in this case. So I showed a local, and this conjecture, of course, it goes back to this, the ways to pin down soliton spectrums for surface defect by these people. So the picture is the following. So I showed a sort of like another local picture for what happens, for example, in a third order ODE case, where the WKB curve will be a three branch covering, where I resolve the branch point so that it's a simple, so at most two sheets meet together. So for example, this is a sheet one, sheet three meet together, this branch point sheet one, sheet two meet together. And in the neighborhood of this simple branch point, what you see is very similar to what happens in Schrodinger equation. So you see three Stokes lines coming out. However, as they grow, as you evolve them, there's some first order ODE that you could use to evolve these lines. When they meet, under circumstances, there could be a new Stokes line growing out of where they meet. So like in the neighborhood of here. So, and of course you could still do this WKB based analysis. For example, you make the WKB on that, you get a slightly more complicated Riccati equation, but still you could try to build the formal solutions to the third order ODE. What you have is like three, you could build three formal solutions instead of two in this case. And the picture is the following. So these black lines still cover out your total Z plane to different regions. In each region, you could do Brouwer summation to get three actual solutions to the third order ODE. However, they would jump when you go across these Stokes lines in certain way. And I should say this is a conjectural picture in the sense that there's no transformation theory in this case or this careful analysis from the math side to prove this kind of Brouwer summability statement. However, you could do some numerical checks to say that it is indeed true or indeed the case in some simple examples. So for example, one could look at this simple third order ODE, which arises as a quantum cyber-written curve of pure SU3 super young males. In particular, I would look at the parameter region correspond to the so-called strong coupling region. And I should say this figure is apparently a mess, but let me just point out a few features. So from this ODE, one would realize that there are two singularities in the Zipf-plane, namely z equals zero, which I show a blue dot, and z equals infinity, which I didn't draw. So infinity is just infinity. And then the corresponding WKB curve is a three branch covering, which I also choose my conventions for branch cut. And then these black lines are Stokes curves in this case. So in particular, you will get in total 16 regions, which are carved up by these Stokes curves. Within each region, you could do Brouwer summation to get three actual solutions. So in total, you will get 48 local solutions. However, the jumping behavior actually constrains them to not be independent of each other. So in the end, all those 48 local solutions could be expressed using two very basic distinguished solutions and together with the action of the monodromy around the z equals zero. So the distinguished solution is what again I call T and S, which are exponentially decaying solution as z goes to zero along the negative imaginary axis and also along z goes to infinity along the negative imaginary axis. And one could do some numerical checks for this. So I told you that the world symbol, it's expressed in terms of round skins of these S and Ts and also their images under the monodromy action M. So one could evaluate in particular numerically solve for T and S for this third order ODE and substitute them into this Wronski expression and then check it against this truncated asymptotic series of this those WKB periods. And you could say like, for example, in this data point, the numerical match is relatively good. I mean, depending on your standard, but in the third order ODE case, this is roughly as the best test I could do. There's another check one can do, which I didn't mention, and I thought I would mention more about it today, but I didn't put it in my slides. So namely, this Wahrer symbol could also be computed or satisfy some integral equations. And this integral equation could be thought of as descending from another integral equation satisfied by the double coordinates, which we talked about last week, namely chi gamma zeta, and then take the conformal limit of Davide's, where Davide was worked out. And then you would get the following integral equations. So in particular, the h bar goes to zero limit is controls the asymptotic behavior of chi gamma h bar, and it's controlled by z gamma, which is a central charge or classical WKB period. And however, there in the h bar plane, there are distinguished rays at the faces of the BPS states, whose charge has a non-trivial pairing with the gamma here. At those places, chi gamma would jump, where the jumping is controlled by conserved soluble Mann transformation. So given this integral equation, what you can do is, again, you can try to numerically solve it. So you come with some initial configuration and then just keep substituting it into the integral equation and then see if they converge. And then one can also check. In that sense, one can get numerical values of the Wahrer symbol and again check against the Wronskis. So the numerical match here is not quite that good, but it's given the number of BPS states here, which is 12, which it's evidence that that this exact WKB for third order ODE that we're considering does make sense. Okay, so in the last minute, let me summarize quick and then I can take more questions. So I was being lazy again, I just copied my Outlook slides here. So I told you three stories, the first two about land effects in 4D equals two series. Then I talk about this quantum UVR map and construction link invariance. I also talked a little about land effect Schur index and the relation to 4D holomorphic topological twist and 2D VLAs. And then also tell you a little more about how to generalize the exact WKB for Schrödinger equations to higher order ODEs. That's all I want to say, and thank you for your attention.
Thanks very much. Questions online?
So this might be kind of repeating the question about Lagrangian matter, but you know, people often tell me that the K-theoretic Coulomb branches come out of wrapping line defects in these 4D n equals 2 theories on circles. And right. Those also have a map into a quantum forest, which is, mm-hmm. you know, like if you have let me get this right, an abelian theory with no matter, you'll get a quantum torus on the nose. Should I think of this UVIR map as the same thing? Yeah, okay. Tudor is nodding yes.
Sorry, if Tudor is nodding yes, then yes. I don't quite know much details. I know the existence of the work you mentioned, but I mean, Tudor knows a lot more. So yes, yes.
I know bits, there's maybe a preferred cluster patch that you get from this gauge theory. If that is around, you might want to follow. But so Faye's getting many, many different quantum fori.
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of like the full 4D n equals 2 picture, if you sort of abstract yourself from a specific gauge theory frame that contains many different quantum fori, and there's sort of one that you pick out from this reduction to 3D gauge theory,
okay.
is what you're saying, for example. Who's K-theoretic?
Okay. Thanks.
Do the two blue bullet points in your work inform each other? For example, like, yeah, can you use these the quantum yeah. invariants to say something about the WKB solutions or vice versa?
Yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, they should be related in some way, but I should also say I'm not exactly an expert on the exact WKB business. I hope you will perhaps hear more about it in this week and also about this omega deformation. I believe there's a relation for these two talk to each other, but not directly at the moment that I don't know. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Oh.